We all know how overwhelming it can feel to try to decide what to eat, what's healthy, what's not. The options are endless, which is why my mom and I have been absolutely loving Factor. If you're ready to optimize your nutrition this year, Factor is perfect for you. Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, so you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, so it's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle, which is exactly why my mom and I have been loving it so much. They have 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, so it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. You can choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. And best of all, Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. I got some juices in my last delivery that I've been loving having as an in-between my delicious meals. So eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first blocks plus free shipping. That's FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I'm sitting across the table from my lovely mother, Barb, and we're so excited to chat with you all this week, as per every week. Hey, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How's it going?
It's going well.
You seem very fresh and chipper today.
You know,
and
I am.
It makes me happy and excited.
Yeah, we've had a lot of travel lately, and I am. Really good. And as always, I'm excited about this topic today.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I struggle with.
Me too.
For a good part of my life.
And I just have to say before we dive in, you're wearing a very cute shirt that says Sisterhood is Global, and that makes me so happy. I like it.
I'm in that mood.
Power to the people.
Yes.
All right. So, like you said, we're going to chat about something that I actually didn't realize that you had struggled with this. So that's news to me, but I like when we learn things about each other in these episodes.
Wow. That's news to me that you didn't know that this was news to you.
News to you, news to me, yeah. News to all of us.
I'm a little surprised. So good. I'm excited
but
for this conversation.
I think, you know, I mean, I've written about this in blogs and you as my mother, you know, that this is something that I've definitely struggled with. And even still, I was this morning, kind of processing some things, and this dynamic came up for me, and I'm like, I'll get into it because I don't want to. We're going to talk about settling. And so in my mind today, I was like, maybe I'll just settle. Maybe I'm being too much or asking for too much, or I'm acting too much, and maybe I need to tone it down. And yeah, it's really, really tough. And settling and maintaining your self-worth and your boundaries, your desires, your standards, especially in a world, as we know, that pushes them and will make you think that you are too much or you're asking for too much and what you're asking for doesn't exist or is unreasonable. It's a daily battle and a daily practice to counteract that. And like a lot of things that we talk about on the show, this is kind of subtle. You know, you don't always think about the energy of settling or maybe taking less than what you want or what you deserve, but it's something that we're faced with probably on a daily basis. And I'm just excited to pick this apart and see what we can come up with in our conversation today to help us reframe settling or just if nothing else, remind you and me, but all of you listening, our community, that it's okay to be firm in what you want and be confident in your worth.
You know, you set that up really well, Michelle, because it's...
Thank you.
Well, because I feel
after 3 years, I'm glad I can, you know, open it up in a...
So happy.
In a nice way.
So happy. Because I really feel like settling goes hand in hand with self-worth. When I look at my life, as I said, I've struggled with this throughout my life. When I've settled for something and settling, we're talking about in different ways, you know, settling in relationships, you know, settling in work, settling in career, you know, careers and work, as I just said, or settling in personal goals. You know, I think those are some of the major areas where we actually feel like, oh, you know, this is all I'm able to get. And I feel strongly that, you know, there's no, we can't really dream and think about what it is we want for our lives, I think, without first understanding what do we value. So for me, as I've overcome this idea of settling, or even more importantly, in a lot of ways in my life, overcome this idea that I'm, you know, that I'm worth more than what I'm settling for, or that how I feel about myself and the relationship that I have with myself is the most important thing that I have in life. And then what goes after that for me has been, what do I value? What is important to me? What are my non-negotiable values in life? And what are the things that I won't settle for? And be okay and be brave enough to stand up for that. So I think it's all very complicated sometimes. Mm-hmm. And as you talk a lot about life being very messy, that we live in a very messy existence. And so a lot of times it's easier for us, and especially I can talk for myself, I've thought to myself, it's easier for me not to confront this, because sometimes I think we're very, you know, hesitant to confront or to say no or to set the boundary or to do the thing that's going to make us feel like we're in alignment with what we value and what we want for our lives. But it's the hard thing to do sometimes. And, you know, as Glennon Doyle says, we can do hard things.
Right.
I think it's why I love her, and I love that quote, and I love, you know, the book that she wrote, Untamed, because we can do the hard thing. We just have to be committed to it and know what our values are and understand. I think, Michelle, you and I talk about always on this episode now and our podcast in general, the relationship that we have with ourselves matters most.
Right,
you know,
of course.
Loving and trusting and caring deeply about ourselves, which is not always easy.
Yeah, it's not. And I think an interesting aspect about settling that you were just talking about, you know, it probably is different for all, well, it is different because we're all unique people. But I think what was interesting for me in my dynamic with settling is that for such a long time, I didn't think that I was deserving of any better, or that I was worthy or good enough for the things that maybe I thought I wanted or that I had dreams of. And so I lived for a long time with the I'll take whatever I can get mentality. You know, friends, relationships, boyfriends, jobs, apartments, car, like I'm trying to think of an exception to this rule, but it was pretty much widespread for me, where it wasn't like I was ever checking in with myself in any of these instances to say, wait, is this aligned with who I am and what I want? Or does this match my standards, or how does this make me feel? It was always like, because, you know, we talk about drilling down into the feelings. For me, the feelings underneath all of that were, I didn't think that I was worthy. So if something came my way, I had to grab it, because who knew when the next thing would come? Who knew if I would meet another person who wanted to be my friend? Or who knew if I was going to meet another guy who wanted to be my boyfriend? Or this apartment has X, Y, and Z, it's good enough. I might not find another apartment that is, you know, that'll come my way. So I think in a lot of speak that we hear lately, it was like lack mentality. There was very few options. And if something came my way, I was good, and it was good enough. And, you know, you can't see me, but you will soon. Hint, hint. I'm doing air quotes and good enough. I thought, well, I'm going to go for it. And, you know, that's why this is a practice and that, you know, takes discernment, because there's some times where it might not matter. You can say, yeah, this is close enough. It's not going to affect me in a lot of different ways, so I'm going to go for this, even though it's not exactly what I want. But living that way widespread, like what I've been saying, really etches away at the relationship with you have with yourself. And I, after years of living that way, and I know we've talked about this on the show of bad relationships, making bad choices, engaging in unhealthy habits, I really did become a shell of myself to the point where decision-making was hard. I didn't feel like I had preferences on anything because I was just so willing to take anything. And it reminds me of that quote, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And that really felt like me. And so it has been a practice over the past decade, I would say, to build that back up and to feel like it's okay to have preferences or to have standards or even just to have a mindset of picking things that are aligned with me and being okay in saying no. And so I don't know if that all makes sense, but you can see how detrimental it is to our mental state, to how we relate to others, and to how we relate to ourselves when we practice chronic settling.
And so
I was a chronic settler.
I love this, Michelle. So is there one moment or one story in your life that you can identify that made the shift, that helped you make that shift? Because there is one for me, and I can see it clearly in my mind. And I'm just curious, because what you just said is so, you just laid out such a beautiful picture of your journey with mm-hmm. this idea of settling. Oh, this is just close enough. I'm going to settle here. This is all maybe that I'm worthy of. So let me just settle for this. Is there any one thing that happened in your life where you could pinpoint and say, this is where I decided that I am worthy and I'm not going to settle anymore? Or I'm going to do my best.
I'll be curious to hear your story. I don't know if there was one specific example. I think it was after years of everything, I just kind of came to a point where I became a shell of myself, where I was just so frustrated with my own existence, like so wishy-washy, so indecisive, so unconfident, and so doubtful of myself that I'm like, this is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. This is not attractive to people, and not in like a beauty way, but just people don't want to be around someone that's so self-doubting and self-loathing. And I didn't like that version of myself. And so I realized in reflection, we talk so much about the power of reflection, but in reflecting back on a specific romantic relationship where I know I was settling because it was good enough. It ticked enough boxes. It didn't tick every box, but it ticked enough where I'm like, I can deal with this. And that's just such a sad mentality to have, especially when you think about sharing your life with someone. When it came to everything else in my life, it just all was good enough. And I just realized I didn't want to live thinking that I had to look for good enough. It was like I was limiting myself because I didn't think that I could have what I wanted or that I could have good things or great things. But what was your specific story?
You know, I love what you're just saying because it's so true. We can sometimes, you know, just have that down moment where we're just like, there has to be more in life, that more to my life than this. I love what you just said. I don't like this version of me because this isn't actually who I am.
Right.
So my pivotal moment was, you know, many of you know me, I've been on, you know, hundreds of retreats and I study all kinds of great philosophers and teachers of all the times. And I remember going to a retreat with James Finley and he said, could you ever live your whole life never having met the person who's living it? And that set me off on a profound journey. Could I live my whole life never having met the person who was living it? So it really set me off into a journey of what are my values? And what is the life that I'm trying to live? And who am I? You know, the really quintessential question of our lives, I believe, is who am I? We all come to a place at some point where we ask, you know, who am I? And then when my friend Mary and I, we were doing all this work, you know, with workshops and all the things that we were doing with life. And she was volunteering at hospice. And when she came to me one day and said, Barb, do you know what the number one regret of the dying is? And I remember we were talking about it so vividly. And she said, I sit at everyone's bedside. And she said, the number one regret is I didn't live the life that I wanted to live. I lived a life, you know, that everyone else thought I should be living. And I think those two things coming together for me really took me into this deep dive, really, within. Like, what is it? Like, this is my one wild and precious life that Mary Oliver talks about in the poem. So I thought, what does that look like? What do I want for my life? And the idea that I could be even brave enough to even ask the question, but then start to be even braver and have more courage in actually living that way. Like, I do matter. Mm-hmm. How I feel, what I think, who I am matters. And I learned this back in treatment for bulimia back in 1984 when, you know, I didn't think anything mattered but everything in the external world. So it kind of shifted in me after all these years thinking, wait a minute, if I do matter and the things in the outside world don't define who I am and they don't have the power to define or name who I am, then what is it that has the power to name who I am? Mm. You know, and who am I? So it took me into a deeper dive of who I am and what I want. And then I ran across a talk that Louise Hay gave. And I know you went on retreat with her once, which is so sweet and so amazing.
Well, it was, you were supposed to go on the retreat.
Right.
And something happened in your schedule that you and couldn't. And
you went in my place.
You let me go in your place, which was very, that actually, not to take us on a tangent, but in that retreat, she was with Cheryl Richardson, right? Yes. Where I really was introduced to self-love practice of like looking at yourself in the mirror. They gave us these little pocket mirrors to look at yourself and tell yourself that you love yourself. And I remember being so uncomfortable doing that. I was like, why do we need to do this?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. But it, anyways,
it's very cool.
I digress.
She is, for me,
self-love queen.
Yeah. Her affirmations about self-worth and self-love. And I remember she said this in a talk. Remember, you've been criticizing yourself for years and it hasn't worked. Mm. Try approving of yourself and see what happens. And I don't know, that just really struck me because it was true. You know, for so long as a young person, young adult, I was criticizing myself and thinking that I didn't matter. What do I have to lose to try it? You know, and to actually, what it did for me was to actually start believing in myself. You know, why was I so quick to believe in other people and their opinions of me?
Right.
And their thoughts of me. Why don't I just try believing in myself? Why don't I just try it? You know, put it on for size. Try it on for size and see if it could work. And it's so amazing when you start to put, when you start to believe just a little bit, when you can kind of crack that door open just a little bit and start to believe, you know, my values are worth it. I'm worth it. I matter. What I dream for my life matters. What other people dream for me is not me. I really want to embody exactly who I am. And the more you take a little baby step towards that believing in yourself, mm-hmm. you know, it's that idea, believe it and you're going to see it. You know, it's not, don't wait to see it and then believe. You're the one that can create, you know, the life that you believe in yourself. And then you'll start seeing the fruits of that labor, or the fruits of that belief, or the fruits of the values that you bring to your life. And it is so amazing if you can just crack the door open just a little bit, which is what I think happened for me. And it's a journey, as you said, and it's a practice. And there are times when I say, oh, let me just settle here because it's a little bit easier than doing the hard thing and shaking things up. You know, sometimes it feels too hard. And sometimes we maybe need to take a pause and wait to take the step forward. We're not saying just jump right in. I think baby steps are the best. For me, it's been the best way to live my life. I don't just jump into the lake and then try to figure out how to swim later. You know, I actually just take a little baby step. Oh, and then I kind of remember, I kind of remember and think to myself, I'm braver than I think that I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I have more courage than I think that I have. And I think the greatest thing for me when I look back and all the things that I've been through in my life, and I think of all of you listening, if you kind of reflect back for a moment, I love reflection, as you just said, Michelle.
Yeah.
It is one of my favorite practices ever.
For sure. I truly think of you and reflection going hand in hand.
Well, because I think all of you listening, if you just you take a pause and reflect back for a moment, you will probably come to the realization that you have more courage than you think. You've survived more things than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. You've been in really tough, hard times, and you've come through. And you're still here, and you're still able to keep walking your path. So I think that idea that we don't have anyone to prove to anyone except ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the more we continue to love and care deeply about ourselves and not settle for anything less than what our values are, that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't say, oh, you know what, I got this far. This is wonderful. Let me praise myself. Let me congratulate myself. Let me honor myself. And now what is the next step that I want to take? So we never stop.
Right.
But we also, though, can pause along the way, you know, to honor ourselves in the journey. We may not be exactly where it is we want to go today, but we're making strides in that direction. What is that thing that we've talked about, that old Eastern philosophy? If you want to go west, don't go east.
Right.
If you want to go north, don't go south. Like, you
go
take
in
time.
The direction you actually want to go in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I really love what you were saying there, and you mentioned a bit about, or I interpret you talking a bit about, societal pressures. And I think that is another key reason why so many of us feel compelled to settle or accept less than or not even at all what we're looking for, especially in relationships. You know, I've felt this deeply, especially in my 30s. And now I'm in my late 30s, where the timeline of what you think society is expecting of you, you know, you grow up, you go to college, you get a job, you meet someone, you get married, you buy a house, you have kids, you work, you retire, you know, that whole cookie cutter setup for our lives. Being someone who has been single in their 30s, you know, not in a serious relationship, and hearing from people, and even hearing from you, Mom, from your friends sometimes, of what they say, oh, when is Michelle going to meet someone? Why hasn't Michelle settled down? Even settled down, like, that's the phrase, settled down, you know, hello. She's so amazing. How has she not found someone? Blah, blah, blah. And me hearing that too. Haven't you met someone? Are you trying? You know, sometimes you gotta lower your standards or lower your expectations, because, you know, they might be too high and you might be pushing people away. All of those things. It's a lot to take in, and it's a lot to deal with. And it's so easy to just say, you know what, you're right. I'm gonna download an app, and the first person I match with, I'm gonna go out with, and that's just gonna be it, because I'm tired of doing this. Which, you know, if that's your journey, fine. But the outside pressure of trying to influence how you make these big life choices is immense.
And that's why I started this conversation with, what are your values? We have to know what we value. And the most important thing we value is ourselves. We love ourselves. We value the life that we're trying to live. The life not only that we're trying to live, the life that we are living. Like, we really value that. That is so important. Because there is, as I said, there's nothing we have to prove to anyone. Mm-hmm. We are
enough. That's a huge thing.
We are enough. We don't have anything to prove.
But we think we do.
And we think we do. So that's why it's... When we know what our values are, we can start from there. This is what I value. And so I don't become, you know, a victim to society saying, lower your expectations. Are you going to be alone for the rest of your life? All those things, because I believe strongly that no one can make us feel inferior or bad about ourselves without us saying it's okay to do so. Hmm. You know, it is we who gives consent, or we who gives permission to the external world, or the people in the external world, or society, to allow us to make us feel like we need to settle, or that we aren't worthy of the life that we truly dream of having. So I think that for me, self-worth goes hand in hand with settling. And it's so interesting, you know, to try to look at that. If I'm going to settle, am I settling because I'm choosing that I'm going to take this piece today, but maybe my ultimate goal will be this. So it's not really the word settling.
Choice.
It's I'm making a choice here to do this right now, but my next step will be to go to the next rung on the ladder. Mm-hmm. Because what I've noticed for me over the years, and I think wisdom, anyone who's 60 and over listening to this episode today, I think I want you to really embrace the fact that you have a lot of wisdom inside of you. When I think about what I'm saying today, and then I listen to you, Michelle, in your 30s, talking about where you are today and the things that you have been through, it's so amazing how when you get to your 60s and older, you are on the second, third, fourth, you know, iteration of life. You have so much wisdom and so much life that you've already lived. So really honor that truth and honor that wisdom that you have, knowing for me that I believe strongly that how we feel about ourselves, our self-worth, our self-loving ourselves comes from the whole idea and the really true belief that we are worthy. We are worthy of the life that we dream of having for ourselves. We are worthy of standing in our own 2 feet, comfortable in our own skin, and allowing society and other people to have their views and their opinions with no judgments and no thoughts about it, but not letting it erode us and thinking that there's something wrong with us or that, oh, we better settle.
That's so hard.
It's very hard, but it's a practice.
Yeah.
And I think just understanding this one truth is that you are worthy and that you... knowing that you are worthy, that is the one thing that you need to continue to take the next step toward living the life that you choose to live. And there will be some times when you say, okay, let me compromise here. You know, you said the word choice a little bit ago.
Because I know that that's your word.
It is my word because
it's freedom.
It's freedom. Sometimes we are going to choose maybe the lesser rung on the ladder, but it doesn't mean that we're going to live there. It doesn't mean that that defines who we are. It doesn't mean that, oh, this is all I'm capable of. This is all I'm worthy of. It just means for now.
Chess, not checkers.
Yeah, it just means for now. Let me do this one thing now. Maybe I need the little bit of the rest, or maybe I need the little pause, you know, to gain more strength or to do more thinking about or planning about what it is I want my next action to be.
Taking control of our health and wellness can be confusing and overwhelming. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. And our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they all mess with our hormones. Then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's natural, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any more of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty of adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating, and no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today.
Hey friends, health, wellness, and aging are all things that we think about all the time. But did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right, it's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. And that's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True test, you can discover your biological age plus get insights into the things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age test, my mom did too, and we're super excited to see what it reveals about our health, our wellness, if we really are as young as we think we are or as healthy as we think we are. We're so excited for those results. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether that's exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's all about taking those actionable steps to improve your well-being, which, as you know, are so important to the both of us. TrueAge Test is the same technology that's used and trusted by leading doctors, researchers, and health experts around the world. So think about it. What would it be like to know exactly how your lifestyle is impacting your body? True Diagnostic makes it easy to get started, offering simple, actionable insights that you can use right away. So, ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code BARBKNOWSBEST to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI. And a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You had mentioned something about not having to prove yourself or prove anything to other people. And I believe that to be true. And I know you believe that to be true. But again, it is a practice of something that I have to reinforce on a daily basis, because I've noticed within myself, and this is something that happened to me recently, where I was maybe in a lower than average headspace for myself. And I was reading something about relationships, and I let what I was reading and my mental space at the time kind of coincide to then kind of send me into a spiral of questioning everything and questioning my choices and questioning my journey and my path and my timeline and my standards and my values and all of those things. And I'm just wondering if you can talk about, I'm trying to think how I want to phrase this, like knowing yourself well enough to know that, like, oh, if I'm in a lower than usual headspace, like if I'm feeling a little more sensitive or more emotional, or if I'm overly tired, maybe I don't open myself up to conversations about these things that I know have the potential to, you know, take me down even further or make me question things. Because I think what I'm trying to say about this is, when I was reading that article about, like, I think it was like dating in your 30s, when I was in a mindset where I was feeling, you know, less than usual, it then, rather than stopping myself and saying, like, hey, you don't need to be doing this right now, like, go do something, get out of that headspace, I fed it, which then propelled me and fueled me towards, oh my gosh, what do these people think about me because I'm not married right now? These people are, you know, my friends are, you know, married with kids and I'm not. What do they think about me? How do I make it seem like everything is okay? And do they judge me? Like, it just sent me into that rabbit hole headspace of questioning all of the things that I, in my right mind, I feel confident in. So I guess my question is, what's the tool or the trick or the mindset of battling that tricky dynamic that life can present us sometimes?
That's a really good question. And that's a lot.
Sorry.
No.
I know it's a lot, but
no,
it's...
I love it. I love it. When I say something is a lot, I mean, you're at the crux of the issue. You're really at the crux of the issue of how do we take, you know, we're human beings. Okay, let's start with that. We are human beings. So
it's hard to be human.
Well, it's hard to be human. Life is difficult.
Yeah.
And we know that life is going to be difficult. So once we know that life is difficult,
Scott Peck,
we actually can understand that it's difficult, and then we can then process what the next thought would be or what the next action would be in our lives. So we are going to fall prey to that I mean, I talk about how this changed my life when I heard Jim Finley say, could you live your whole life never having met the person who's living it, and all the things that I just said. But it doesn't mean that I don't have thoughts sometimes, as you just said, that say, oh, you know, Barb, what's up with you? You're going to be, you know, 70 years old in a couple of years. What have you done with your, you know, like that mind. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to go back to where we started our whole podcast on the premise of the mind.
Yeah.
And the mind thinks, you know, so many negative thoughts a day. 70,000, I think we've talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that the mind is a tricky customer. I like to call the mind a tricky customer. So the mind is going to feed us, especially if we're feeling tired. You know, we did a whole episode on halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If we're in,
I also wrote about that in my book. Did I tell you that?
Yes, you did. I'm so excited to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. So I know for me, if I'm in one of those categories in my life, if I'm hungry, over hungry, angry, if something has really angered me and I haven't mm-hmm. quite yet processed the feelings of it, lonely, you know, if I'm feeling like I'm out of sorts and I'm feeling, you know, like I'm not worthy or that things are not going my way or what's the matter with me, I'm tired. When I get overtired, it's like I really have to put the brakes on, you know, for the day, or put the brakes on making any decisions that are going to be altering my life in any way.
Right.
So I think it's all of those things combined. When we know we are in a space like that, we have to be able to talk back to the mind and say, wait, Barb, you are in a space right now. You know that everything that you see on social media or many of the things that you read that other people are writing, you know that that might not even be pertaining to you. You know that could be just the highlight reel.
Yeah.
And you know that it has nothing to do with you, and that those opinions or those thoughts or those impressions that people are writing about has to do with them and not you. So all these things, you know, we have to be able to say to ourselves, but I say all that to say, there may be a day where you just say, you know what?
F it.
I'm in a rabbit hole today. And so I am just not going to make any decisions or do anything until I can shake this, you know, these feelings of self-doubt, because that's really what it is. So I like to think about myself in self-doubt. To me, is one of the biggest triggers, or one of the biggest, what do you call it? A red light, I guess, or an alarm.
Red
self-doubt
flag?
Is a huge alarm in my brain when I start doubting myself that I need to pause. I need to just stop. I need to not go down and think about what I'm going to do about my life for the next 20 years or whatever it is. I need to not sign any contracts if I'm in the middle of trying to do something. Like last year, I was in the middle of a huge mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
And I would say at least once a week, I wake up and I think, thank you that I didn't sign that contract.
Right.
So it's very interesting that whenever I have self-doubt, I stop. So I connect that self-doubt with self-worth, with settling, with all the things that we're talking about. When you start to doubt yourself and your ability to discern, you start to doubt your values. You start to doubt your worthiness, because that's the rabbit hole that happens when you start self-doubting.
Can I ask you a question?
I was just going to say, take a pause.
I mean, I think we all know what self-doubt looks like and how it sounds, but can you give some examples of what the siren, like what the self-doubt thoughts sound like and look like for you that go off as sirens? Like, is there something that you say to yourself and then you're like, whoa, wait, hold on. Like, what does that sound like for you?
One of the biggest ones is, Barb, you're not smart enough right now.
Do you still think that sometimes?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah. No, so that's what I mean.
No. I'm just.
Yeah. Yeah. No. What I think. Yes.
That's why it's so interesting how unique we are. Cause that's not something that pops up for me. I mean, I have other things, but that's for you.
That's for me. And I think I heard that my whole life as a child.
Yeah.
Barb, you're stupid. I've talked about this on the podcast before. And I think that's the beauty of what you and I are trying to share with our life experiences. Cause I never want anyone to think that we're going to transform ourselves, but there aren't going to be these little things that pop up from our trauma, from our childhoods.
Right.
And I think the way we deal with it is the mastery, is the wisdom, is how we live our lives in alignment with who we are and living that one wild and precious life that we want to live. I love it. I actually embrace when I get a thought that comes in my head that you're not smart enough for this, Barb. You know, maybe you need to go take it to somebody who knows what they're talking about. You know, something so crazy like that. Sometimes I'd start laughing. And I think that's the beauty of it, because if we are really setting ourselves up for a serious crash if we think we're never going to have thoughts like that again. If we think, oh, I've mastered self-love. I've mastered worthiness. I've mastered not settling. Oh, I don't need to learn anything about this anymore. I've got it.
It's, you know, that kind of ego.
Yeah.
That will invite a test.
Yes. Well, it will invite a test, but more than that, it will invite self-doubt. It will invite self-beating us, myself up. Oh, what is the matter with you, Barb? You've been practicing this for 40 years now. You've been going on all these hundreds of retreats.
Have you not gotten this yet?
Yeah. What is wrong with you? Are you ever going to get it? Oh, I don't think you are ever going to get it. This whole life has been a laugh. You know, it's not really true, because that's what the mind will do. If we believe that we're going to be perfect, if we believe that we're never going to fall into this whole downward spiral. And what I like to call it is recovery time. Mm-hmm. I try to nip it in the bud as soon as I can.
Sometimes you don't live there.
I don't live there. So I really want to share this so strongly. We can have these thoughts. We can have these views. We can have these emotions. But we don't need to live there, especially if they're not true. We don't ever want to live into a thought or a feeling or an emotion. First of all, thoughts and feelings are fleeting. They come and they go. Mm-hmm. We cannot live in those because they come and go. So if we're going to live in them, they're going to come and go and come and go and come and go and come and go.
It'll be a ping ball.
Yeah, it will be a pinball.
Yeah. In a machine.
In a machine. So yeah, I think if we can have the attitude that I am not perfect, I am a human being living this human experience, and I'm trying to become wiser and more loving and more caring of myself every day. And so what I also, to answer your question from a while ago, I also would ask you, how do you treat your most loving dear friend? If your most loving dear friend, I want you to imagine, all of you listening too, I want you to imagine the person that matters most to you, and not necessarily a family member. Let's go outside the family, a dear friend, mm-hmm. a coworker that you love, or just a dear person that you care deeply about. They came to you and said, oh, Michelle, I'm just, you know, I didn't get the job that I wanted. And I know why I didn't get the job that I wanted, because I'm not worthy of it. Mm. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. You know, I don't have the same kind of hair that I'm supposed to have in this particular job. I don't have enough money. You know, I'm just not worthy of this job. You know, I probably needed more of an education. You know, I don't even know what made me think that I could even have this particular job. What was I thinking? What is the matter with me? Am I ever going to get out of this? No. You know what? I'm never going to get out of it because I'm not worthy. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, that's not true.
What would you say? Yeah.
No, of course, that's not true. You are worthy. You know, if it's not this, it's something better. Rejection is redirection. You are amazing. You are smart enough. You are worthy enough. All of those things, of course.
You would say, I love you so much.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. You'd start giving examples of how that person has impacted your life or changed your life, or give them examples of what, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Do you know how smart you are? You just told me what I needed the other day. And mm-hmm. I would never have got there if you hadn't shared your life experience with me. Like, really building the person up. So how can we start little by little doing that for ourselves?
Yeah, our instinct to go there.
No, but which is what I do. You ask me what I do, I'll pause and I'll reflect back and think of a time when I was really proud of myself. When I really did accomplish exactly what I wanted and then some. The other day we had someone come up to us and telling us how much they love the work that we do. It always brings me to tears because I'm thinking, wow, that is so true. And it doesn't bring me to tears because it's not true. It brings me to tears because it's like, yeah.
Reaffirming what you know to be true.
Exactly. Yeah. This is why I'm doing the work that I do. This is why I love my life so much. So just reminding yourself of why you love your life so much and what it is about your life that you do love so much. it's so easy to go into the negative.
Yeah.
And so for every negative, we need to counteract that with a several positives, not just one. Because I think the negative can be so hard and so fierce.
Yeah.
You know, and so I can have some negative thoughts that are just really so unkind. You know, thoughts that I would never share with another person. I remember being...
Yikes, Mom. No, it's true. We all think horrible things about ourselves that we would never say to someone else.
I remember when I was in treatment, there was a Catholic priest that came to give a talk. And he...
I don't know if I've heard this story.
And he said, would you... You know, this treatment center was a 12-step treatment center, just to make that clear if you haven't heard the other episodes. And he said... How many of us sitting here would want every single thought that we are thinking in a 24-hour day put on a screen for anyone in the world to read? Mm. And I remember there was like a gasp in the audience. Like we're all sitting there like, oh my gosh. Because it really empowered us to really look at, if we think about just for a nanosecond, what kind of thoughts we think sometimes, would we want everyone in the world to see those thoughts in a 24-hour day? So I think where he was going with that was that we are going to think thoughts. I mean, that's the nature of thoughts. They come in the mind. We have no control over them coming into the mind.
Right.
But we have 100% control over whether we're going to believe them or not and allow them to remain in the mind. So my whole point in all of this story right now is that you have the power to believe the thoughts that are coming in the mind or not believe them. Sometimes you're going to, and you're going to suffer a little bit, but your recovery time can be, wait a minute, all these thoughts that I've been having are not true. Let me come back to the truth.
I like that a lot. I like that you're honing in on recovery time, because we're not going to be perfect or, you know, never be bothered or influenced or taken down a peg by something that happens in life or in the external world. But it is about how we can get back to that center and recover, like you said, and remember what's true. And it is so much what goes on in our minds, what the thoughts that we think and repeat, and are we fueling, what stories are we fueling, and what mindsets are we fueling with the thoughts that we think. And I think that is where affirmations can really come into play and help us counteract, or like we talk about, create those new neural pathways in the brain of the positive, instead of deepening and digging deeper those negative neural pathways that are so easy to fall into sometimes.
Well, I think too, Michelle, you know, we're talking about settling. Are we going to settle for something lesser than what we think we deserve, or settle for something lesser than what we desire? And we're going to settle. If we are going to settle, then it's because we don't think we deserve it, or we're not worthy of deserving it. That this whole episode is about settling for things that maybe it isn't what we really want for our life. And then why is it we're settling? And I believe 100% of the time, it is because we don't think it's worth the risk, a lot of times, of going after what it is we think we deserve, or we don't think we're worthy. So when we put those two things together, it's so important to think about, what is the truth? What are we? I think it's that whole, you know, I just kind of lost my train of thought just for a second. It's that whole adage of, am I worthy of this? Yes, I am worthy of this. So let me go after what it is that I desire and make a plan to do that.
Well, it's like what you said at the beginning, settling is easier. Not settling is hard sometimes. And like you said, you can do the hard things, right?
Definitely right.
Yes, definitely, like I think, right. You know, sometimes I think, yeah, wouldn't have been great if I just, you know, done the normal thing and settled for whatever, because the journey and the patience and the diligence and the discipline of maintaining a path of not settling is hard and long sometimes. And it's like, you have to be truthful with yourself, that knowing that it's not going to be easy. Like, I think there's a glamorizing of not settling, because you're going to stay after and keep your eye on the prize of what you want. But there's the in-between of having an idea or a desire or a goal and the end result. And sometimes that road can be longer than we want it to be, to where we're like, this is too much. This is too long. I didn't sign up for this. I'm just going to stop because what the heck? Being truthful that it might be a long journey. It might be a hard journey. It might be lonely. It might be unsettling at times. Knowing that to be true so that when it happens, you're not like, wait, what's wrong here? I did something wrong. I need to go back and, you know, settle for that thing because clearly I made the wrong choice. It's like being upfront with yourself that a road of and a journey of making choices based on your desires and being in alignment with them isn't always the easy road.
I love that, Michelle. And I think one of the things I was going to say earlier that just really hit me strongly with what you were just saying is sometimes I think where we get stuck in the self-doubt or we get stuck in that notion that we have to settle or we're not good enough is we're going to have reflections of our past. Mm-hmm. We're going to have past thoughts come in. And I've been in this mode here. You and I have been going through this long journey of writing a book together. Writing a book together and looking at our past together. And I think what is so important for us to realize is, especially as you start to get a little bit older, but not even, you know, we start to think about a situation or a choice that we made in our past and we start really beating ourselves up about it. We start saying, oh my gosh, why did I make that decision? Why did I settle? Mm-hmm. Why did I think that I wasn't worthy in this situation? What was wrong with me? And we really can go down a rabbit hole with that.
Yeah.
And what I'm really seeing with myself as, wait a minute, you cannot go back in the past try to recreate the past, given all of the circumstances of the past, and think that you can make that same, you can make a different decision because it's different. We are in a different space today. We are wiser today. We have different thoughts. We have different influences. We have different values. We have different beliefs. We have different everything. So what I'm saying about that whole thing is when your mind takes you back to some incident that happened in your past, it can really have you cause you to have so much self-doubt. Wait a minute. Look at what I did back then. Why did I? You can start to really, you know, take yourself to task for things that happened in the past. And I think it's so important. I go back to this idea of a reflection exercise to realize you did the best that you could with the information that you had. And now it's time to learn from that and move forward. And so for me, learning from anything that I've done in my past and moving forward means trusting these are the values that I have for my life, trusting that I have enough courage. I can be brave to live the life that I want to live, and that I am wiser and more knowledgeable today than I was back then. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
Because it makes perfect sense to me because it's kind of where I've been the past year. And this idea of reflecting back on choices that I made or things that happened in my past, and don't get stuck there. Don't live in your past. Really give yourself a break and honor yourself and give yourself the love and care that you would give another person. You did the best that you could.
For sure.
And live here in the present moment, thinking about and planning and knowing who you are, what it is you want now, and really honor yourself for everything that you've learned. I think there's not enough grace and not enough power that we give ourselves and others about what we've learned. To me, learning is everything. I believe, I say it all the time, mm-hmm. I believe we're here in this lifetime to learn, to grow, and to become the greatest version of who we already are from the inside out. So really value how much you have learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you start that process of, you know, not settling for what you really desire for your life to be, or knowing that you are valued, that you do matter, and that loving and caring deeply for yourself is your number one priority. It's that you're learning that.
Yeah.
We didn't always have that. I don't think we were born to think that way.
No, and it's really not fair for us to look back on past versions of ourselves with the knowledge that we have in the present and the lessons that we've learned, you know, in the meantime and judge ourselves for decisions and choices that we made before we learned more. It's kind of cruel to ourselves, honestly.
I love that. And isn't it great? I have such a great smile on my face right now because I'm feeling so happy. Isn't it great? We've not been taught these things. I was never taught any of this stuff when I was a child. And I don't know if any of you listening were taught these things as a child in school or on the playground or in your reading books and all of the things. Isn't it great that we as humans can actually take our life experiences and all the things that we read and we know and we engage in and learn? Like, isn't that the greatest thing that we can do as human beings, or one of the greatest things? Learn? Like, we are capable of learning. So I just would love to say for all of you listening, honor yourself for that.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, if you're struggling with how do you feel about yourself, whether you're worthy or whether you matter or whether you should settle for something less than what it is you truly desire in life, think about how much you've learned so far in your life and give yourself the grace and really pat yourself on the back for knowing that you are capable of learning and you're capable of growing. And you really are capable of knowing that you are enough and that you're worthy of the love and the trust and the worthiness that you deserve.
Yeah. And if you're someone who is struggling with settling or feeling self-doubt or that you don't have confidence or worth, you know, just think of all of the little tools and practices that we talked about in this episode of, you know, establishing a strong foundation from within so that you know yourself deeply enough to know when you're maybe in a lower headspace. And if you're not feeling great, you know, make choices that support yourself and your relationship with yourself, and fuel yourself with the positive to help get yourself what's happening with my brain? Get yourself out of that headspace. You know, reaffirming the positives of what you know to be true about yourself. And talk to yourself like you would your closest friend or someone you deeply, deeply care about and have compassion and empathy for. And stop being so hard on yourself for maybe past choices or just your current situation. If you're not where you want yourself, where you thought you should be or where you want to be in this moment in time, and you have judgments or criticisms about it, give yourself some grace, like you said, Mom. And just, you know, really be your own cheerleader. It's hard in this world. It is a practice. There's going to be so many external voices and internal voices that will tell us that that's not true and that we aren't good enough. But it's worthwhile and it's a worthy practice to counteract it.
It is a worthwhile journey for sure. Yeah. It is a lifelong worthwhile journey, Michelle.
And just, yeah, ultimately remembering that we are all worthy. We're born worthy. We're inherently worthy. We're good enough. Well, we're always enough as we are. And so, you know, you don't have to settle. Make choices that feel good for you and that align with who you are and what you want and that make you feel like the best version of yourselves. And know that and trust that there's options out there. It's an infinite world. So we don't have to limit ourselves with what we think in our minds.
I love it. I love it. I'll share this with all of you as I close out this episode of our podcast. And this is from one of my favorite teachers, one of my favorite meditation teachers. She came over here in the 60s, and it's Sharon Salzberg. Mm-hmm. And she says this, and the first time I heard her say this in a talk, I just kind of melted in my chair. As I thought, first of all, how beautiful it is to believe this. But second, I send this out to all of you so that you maybe write this on your bathroom mirror. Just really, truly take it in and believe it for yourself. And she said this, "You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection." And I offer all of that to you for yourselves. You deserve your love and affection.
So true. And that's a perfect way to close out this episode, because you are worthy and you are always enough. I love that. Thank you, Mom. And thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. I love you.
And thank you all for listening and being a part of this community and joining us week in and week out. We are so grateful and appreciative to all of you. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you're always up to date with each new episode as it drops. If you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and leave a review. It's super helpful for us in the show when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or a future podcast topic request, follow us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the best way to stay in touch with us. There are a couple links in our show notes for our Substack, so go meet us over there if you feel so inclined. And thank you so much again for listening. We love you all dearly, and we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Stay warm and save every day, all in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.